God wants to give us what we need. In its most basic sense, I think that's what the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 in today's gospel shows us. That God doesn't want to withhold good things from us, but as a good father, as a good parent, wants to give us exactly what we need. And Jesus, as he acknowledges this crowd that's following him, knows they have a simple physical need. They need food in their stomachs. There could have been lots of different ways that Jesus could have brought about this miracle, that he could have fed them. So I think we want to look at why Jesus does it the way that he does. Why filling their physical hunger in this way was a sign not only for those 5,000 gathered, but was a miracle also for the apostles. Was something that they would carry with them to help them to share his gospel to the ends of the earth. Because he presumably could have just sent down manna from heaven as God did in the Old Testament. There would be this unleavened bread that kind of shows up on the ground like hoarfrost that everybody could gather up as much as they wanted to eat. Could have presumably just said, hey, there's a McDonald's over there. And that'd be kind of weird, I guess. But right, he could have made food appear however he wanted. And yet he seems to choose first to go to the apostles. Right? First to go to Philip and say, what are we going to do about all these hungry people? Then he wants the apostles to also recognize the needs of those around them. Right? He wants the apostles to see there are thousands of people here, yes, to hear me preach, but we also need to care for them, to care for their physical needs and whatever other needs they might have. He does it in such a way that another apostle, Andrew, then realizes they have something to offer. Maybe it's not enough, but they have these 5 barley loaves and these fish that they bring to Jesus. Again, Jesus could have performed this miracle however he wanted. He could have just satisfied their physical hunger in lots of different ways. But I think the reason he chooses to do it this way is so that it would be a miracle for the apostles also. That they would know in a very personal and intimate way that truth that God wants to give us what we need. That when we feel like we're missing something, when there's a hunger, whether it be physical or spiritual, we don't assume that there's lots of different things that can fill that void. Instead, we say, Lord God, how is it that you can provide for me right now? How is it that you can give me what I need? Because you want to do that. Because going back to the very first sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, one of the devil's temptations is always to make us think that God doesn't actually want to help us. Right? That he won't actually provide for what we need. If you remember the story of Genesis 3 when the serpent is talking to Eve with Adam right there next to her, he says to them, well, did God put you in this beautiful garden with all this great food and told you you couldn't eat any of the fruit? That seems ridiculous. And Eve corrects him, but I think what the devil is doing right there, he's using a lie just to sow that seed of doubt. To make them think, oh, sure, God made you and he put you in this garden. But he's not actually going to take care of you when it matters. You need to do that for yourself. Brothers and sisters, if you're anything like me, you've heard that temptation many times from the devil. To make us think that we need to do it ourselves, that we can't actually trust God to provide for our need. I think the apostles would have been tempted with that same lie. So Jesus in this miracle wants them to know beyond any doubt that he can and will provide for them. Provide for their physical need, provide for their spiritual and emotional need, no matter how long the odds look. No matter how difficult it might look or impossible the task. So that by the apostles helping to feed the 5,000, when they're sent to the ends of the earth and they themselves are missing home, when they don't have enough food, when they need shelter, or when they're not very successful in their preaching, in all of those moments they can say, Lord, I know that you are with me. I know that you want to provide for my need right now, just as you provided for the hunger of the 5,000 on that mountainside. So, Lord, give me exactly what I need. That the story no longer becomes something abstract and generic that Jesus wanted to do for others, But the apostles and this whole crowd know that God can and will provide for their need personally. I feel like I had a similar moment, though much less extraordinary, much less miraculous, in my life as a disciple. At the first year I was out in Emmitsburg, Maryland, at seminary at Mount St. Mary's, as the semester went along, I started to kind of run out of money. Didn't have a lot left in the bank account. I guess I had gone out to dinner a few too many times. Not sure what happened. And I was wanting to go home for Thanksgiving in November, but I knew I really couldn't afford to fly home and for Thanksgiving and drive home for Christmas. I pretty much had to pick one or the other. So I probably could have asked somebody for money or told my parents to buy me a plane ticket, but at the time I just thought the circumstances said that I wasn't going to be able to go home. I just kind of resigned myself to, well, it would be better if I could go home. I would like to see my family. I've missed them. It would be good to see my parents, but I guess there's just no way around it. So the day I was planning to call my mom and tell her that I wasn't going to be able to fly home for Thanksgiving, actually got in the mail a letter from a local Knights of Columbus council. It was a council from here in Wichita. I didn't have any connection to that council. I don't think they'd ever supported me in the past. And they had sent me also a check just in support of my vocation. A check to help me pay for whatever expenses there might be. Just happened that that check covered basically a flight home for Thanksgiving. Again, I wouldn't say that that was particularly miraculous, that that was an extraordinary event. But for some reason, at that moment in time, I needed to know that God would provide for me. And then in that moment, I knew God saw Father Devin's need, and he said, this is how I can fill that need. This is how I will provide for him, just as I did for the hunger of the 5,000 on the mountainside. And so any time throughout seminary or throughout my priesthood since then, when I start to listen to that lie of the devil of, oh, well, God doesn't really want to take care of you. Like, sure, he wanted you to become a priest, but that's just so you could work for many, many years and, you know, do baptisms and celebrate Mass and help God out that way. He's not really going to provide for you. But any time I start to hear that lie, I say, I don't believe that. I go back to my personal feeding of the 5,000 and I say, Lord, I know you provided for me in that moment. You saw my personal need and you did everything you could to fill it. And so whatever my need is in this moment, I know that you can provide for me, that you can feed that hunger in my soul. And because I started to believe that God will provide for me personally, I could have a great and unbreakable trust in him. Trust that no matter what is happening around me, he will give me what I need. I think that's the trust that he wanted to instill in his apostles. Really all his disciples and followers, but the way Jesus goes about this miracle and this story, he wants Philip and Simon and Andrew to know that whenever they need him, they can trust him. They can come to him in great need, not understanding how it might be fulfilled, and put that offering on the altar, put it at the foot of the cross, and say, Lord, I know you'll give me whatever it is that I need. And I think with that profound trust, the rest of John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse, starts to make sense. Because over the next 5 weeks, we'll read Jesus telling his apostles and all the disciples, all the followers that were there in the crowd, that he is the bread of life. He is the one that's come down to fill them in their need, to be their food for the journey, as the manna in the desert was for the Israelites. That if we do not eat his flesh and drink his blood, we can't have life at all. Now, without this great trust that he gives to the apostles, I think that would just be a pipe dream.